This is Jess Explores. I'm Jess, and I work in MARE, the SFI Research Center for Energy, Climate, and Marine. Join me today on a new episode of Jess Explores. I think it's time that we address the elephant in the room. And it may not necessarily be an elephant to you, but I think in many contexts, it could be seen as something a little bit disjointed. And that is this idea that ocean action is climate action. We look at the climate and climate change as a separate thing. We look at biodiversity as a separate thing. And when you listen to the media and when you listen to a lot of these debates, they are often presented as completely singled out, siloed causes. But really, the issue about climate change and ocean action, and as well as biodiversity and all kinds of ocean pollution, it's really all in the same pot. It all comes together, it all impacts each other, and it is really the same discussion that we need to have. I actually think having these discussions separately from each other is hurting the cause altogether, because then you have people that are fighting about biodiversity and saying that we need to focus on biodiversity primarily, and you have people focusing on climate change primarily, and you have people focusing on ocean action primarily. All of these things need to come together. That is very difficult to do because there's so much information that we need to bring together. And sometimes it can be overwhelming because there is a lot of information out there telling us about all of these different causes and telling us about all of these problems. Let's dig deeper into why ocean action and climate action are so tight and why they're so important to consider together. In the same sentence and in the same way you understand them, they should always be viewed together. And the reason for that being is that the ocean absorbs roughly 93% of all of the heat that comes from any CO2 emissions. So the ocean is actually kind of the absorbent of all of that heat, all of that. Let that just sink in. So if you think that some of the stuff that we do on a land-based is already impacting the world and that is really just keeping it in a local environment, you're badly mistaken. Everything that happens on the land also impacts the ocean in some way. The ocean also absorbs about 25 to 30% of these emissions, so CO2 emissions that otherwise would just be in the atmosphere, which would also increase global warming. So the ocean is a very important regulator when it comes to CO2 emissions and to global warming and all of that, because it does absorb that naturally. We don't have to do anything for the ocean to naturally do that. It's a normal process that the ocean does every single day. It's a natural process that keeps going no matter what the people are doing, no matter how much impact you have. The problem, though, is that if the heat is getting too much, if it's too much to absorb for the oceans are going to get warmer. With the oceans getting warmer, that means that it may be more difficult for certain types of animals to remain in a certain area. The water may turn acidic, which means that it may turn or it may tip completely. You may then have an issue also of depletion of the fish habitats or that are normally in that area, or the fish will migrate out of that area. You may also get other species into the water that you may have never had there before. You may also end up with a lot of coral bleaching. If you get a lot of coral bleaches, that means then that you don't have the necessary healthy environment that could then protect some of the animals that would normally live in these areas because they cannot live off of bleached corals. So there's a lot to be said about hot water, about too much heat, about all of that. It can really turn your entire ocean into a whirlpool of heat. And you get all of these things that you don't want. The healthy environment won't be able to survive that because it's too hot. The animals wouldn't know where to go. They may starve to death and you may end up with very invasive species that you're not going to be able to get rid of. So it's very important that the ocean stays at a stable temperature in order to protect the animals that are living in the ocean. So when we talk about coastal ecosystems such as mangroves or marshes or coral reefs, like all of these natural ecosystems, they're super important to mitigate and adapt any climate change because they can sequester some carbon, they can store the carbon, they can make sure that the carbon isn't just in the atmosphere but actually store it. And so these blue carbon ecosystems, they sequester more carbon and they safeguard coastal cities and communities, and they're just so important for climate change or in the mitigation of climate change. So protecting these ecosystems and making sure that we actually have a healthy environment, a healthy marine ecosystem that can sustain these normal ecosystems, super important, because without them, not only are you going to lose a lot of these natural ecosystem services that are protecting the environment, but you're also going to lose that extra additional carbon sequestration part. That, again, these are natural systems, there's nothing man-made in that. So for these ecosystems, it's important to keep our coastal zones and safeguard them at temperatures below 1.5 Celsius degrees in increasing. That was a little bit of a roundabout of ways of saying that if we go above the 1.5 Celsius of global warming, which I know we're dangerously close, or, you know, if we're not mitigating this very soon, we can lose a lot of natural habitats. We can destroy everything. And the thing is, if we lose all of these natural ecosystems, but quickly thereafter, we kind of figure out another way to kind of mitigate this, and we decide to then build a lot of these mangroves and blue carbon ecosystems, like seaweeds and all of that, seaweed forests. The problem there is that it does take several years for them to be actually healthy ecosystems. So action now is super important. If we lose any more of these ecosystems, that means that we then have to work that much harder in the future to maintain and to protect the environment even more. And the problem there then is, if we declare the ocean as a completely zero zone, as in if political leaders are to decide that we're not going to use the oceans at all anymore, we just want to protect them, we're not going to touch them, the problem then is that you lose a lot of job opportunities, you lose a lot of opportunities to actually achieve sustainable development goals such as food security and marine renewable energy and all of that. So we do need to be able to use the ocean, but we need to use it in a way that is actually smart, which is why it's important that we understand the ocean action is always climate action, and climate action is ocean action. They need to go hand in hand, and that debate needs to be had, and it needs to be had loudly, and also it needs to be had in the understanding that it's not a separate thing. Just as much as biodiversity and climate change and biodiversity and ocean action, this is all the same issue. It all comes back to the same problem and cause of the problem. So there's great opportunities when you use the ocean sustainably to really address sustainable development goals and to really look at food security and at climate change and zero hunger, all of these really important goals all over the world. The opportunity is there. We just need to make sure that we actually maintain a healthy enough ecosystem to do that. So climate action and ocean action, they really go together. It's important that we have the debate together and that we're not talking about separate things when we talk about the environment or the ocean being needing to protect the oceans and climate change being this opposite thing. The world is really an interesting thing because everything is interconnected. Everything comes together. And if you say that we have a problem in the global north, you will have a similar problem in the global south. And the reason for that is that oceans oscillate. So ocean currents, actually, they go in an H shape or in an infinity shape around the world. So they kind of keep moving left to right all the time in this infinity shape kind of way. And so really, if we are able to address an issue such as climate change in one part of the world, this can benefit everybody if then everybody contributes to this. And it's important to look at climate action and ocean action as a holistic thing rather than kind of the separate siloed approach. If you want to know more about this, there is loads of information out there. So many cool articles and initiatives and so many cool new things are coming out, especially with this idea of bringing together ocean action and climate action. So if you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, if you have anything that you would like to contribute, please let me know. Reach out to me and I'm happy to have this discussion with you. If you want to engage with me on social media, follow me on Twitter at Jess_explores or follow me on Instagram at Jess_explores_podcast.